Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and this is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today, I want you to really sit back and enjoy because we have a special episode just for Halloween week. And although, honestly, this story is pretty fabulous no matter what time of year it is. And today, we're joined by one of my broker friends, Colin Cameron. So, Colin, tell everybody hello.
Hey, how's it going, Miss Brown?
And aren't you pleased I got your name right this time? I messed it up the last time we talked, so I'm really proud of myself.
You nailed it. I can tell you I get called Cameron all day, though, so it's all right.
So tell the listeners where you're located, what kind of job and stuff that you do related to real estate so they can get a tiny bit of background before you dive into your fabulous story.
I would love to do that. Ms. Brown, I am out in southern Pennsylvania. I'm about an hour north of Baltimore. Specifically, Snyder's Pretzels is in my hometown. So I'm in Hanover, Pennsylvania, but I work York and Adams County, which specifically covers Gettysburg in this story.
Awesome.
And as far as what I do is I list, I sell, I do everything. Bring them at me and I'll take it on.
Okay, cool. So before you tell what happened in this Gettysburg region, just remember the ground rules of the podcast, no F-bombs or GDs because I'm allergic to them. Don't name real names unless you have permission, because you are the lucky one who asked permission from your people to include their names in this story. And listeners, you will totally understand why you want to know their names in just a minute. So with that being said, dig in and tell us about it.
Sure. So I had just gotten into the business. It's actually about 2 years ago now. I jumped into the business because I'm actually a third generation real estate agent. Mom, grandfather, all that good stuff. And I'm a single dad, so I wanted a balanced lifestyle, or at least the best I could. So I got into the business, and I did what everybody told me to, and I started taking phone duty as much as I could. So I was doing it two or three times a week. Weekends, I didn't care. So I took it one Sunday morning, and I got a call. And I got a call from Miss Pam. And yes, I did get permission to use their names because they love this story, and they want people to know. So Miss Pam called in. We were talking for quite a bit. She was pre-approved. And she was using a USDA loan, which I think, just so our audience knows, USDA loans are very popular in my area. That is no money down loans. They're actually changing the rate on October 1st so that your rate will go down. It'll be less than an FHA loan. So for those that apply for USDA areas, which is rural areas, so think farmland, agriculture, it might be wise for you to look into that.
AKA. Call your professional realtor who will understand what this is, because the Googles are not exactly going to help you on this front. But anyway.
No, the Googles aren't going to help you on that one. Sorry. Lender and agent, you want them. So she called in and we were talking, and she had one house specifically in mind. It was on Railroad Road in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And yes, it is right along Railroad. It was listed for $115,000, and she asked if we could get out there the next day and see it. And I said, sure, no problem. She gave me her email address, and her email address was kind of an eyebrow raise because it was a Reiki healer, blah, 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 at Yahoo or something. I don't know what a Reiki healer is. Do you, Ms. Brown?
Not the foggiest idea, but that probably sounds like something out of California or Arizona more so than something from North Carolina or Pennsylvania, honestly.
I had to look it up. It's spiritual energy. It's like healing stones and like waving your hand. So not quite a massage, but more in depth, I guess. So I met her the next day at Railroad Road in Gettysburg, and we were walking through the house. It was an okay house. It was an estate, so it probably hadn't been updated since 1960. It was about 1,300 square feet. And then she brings out her phone, and then Steve enters the picture. Steve was her boyfriend at the time. They FaceTime, and we walk through the house, and I have to sell this house via FaceTime. So we get done with the house, and he goes, "Let's buy it." So first house I'd ever shown, period. Like, I had never shown a house before. This was my first, quote-unquote, potential client. And he goes, "I want to write an offer."
I don't even know how to process the let's buy it thing at that point.
Oh, nonetheless, after showing one house, that's crazy, you know. But they were determined, and I said, okay, let's do this. So I went back to the office, and I wrote my first contract, and we offered $80,000 on a $115,000 home.
So is this, like, normal in your market, that kind of a spread, or... How does that relate to the world of Gettysburg real estate?
At the time, that was a kick in the teeth, I guess, as it were. It'd been on the market maybe 6 months, so it was stagnant, but at the same time, that's still well below value. I think that house ended up selling for around $100,000 at the end of the day.
Okay, cool.
So that didn't work out. You know, I was happy to get that contract under my belt and at least write something and feel a little more comfortable with that. So then Pam and I started on her journey of going to short sale after foreclosure, after short sale, after foreclosure. And she loved playing this game with me where she would try to scare me in all of the houses. The reason for that being, as I later found out, is Pam and Steve were actually connected and they met each other because they were ghost hunters.
So, wait, like for real ghost hunters, like you see on TV?
Yeah, like they have those, like, think like Ghostbusters and all those little gadgets they got. They got them.
The little thing they're looking around for it to buzz and the lights to change colors.
Yeah, like a... I don't know. Yeah. I keep up with their stuff, like a petrometer meter, and like they have little things that record ghost voices, and then they translate it. And that was quite the revelation when they told me that. I ended up finding a house for them out in a place called Aspers, Pennsylvania. Aspers is a tiny, tiny town, less than 1,000, like to the point where you get no cell phone service. Their biggest event is called Apple Fest, Apple Harvest. It's the annual Apple Fest where everybody comes from miles and miles around, which is perfect for USDA country. Absolutely perfect. So we get to this house. I think it's 1,400 square feet. It's got 1.5 bath, 3 bedrooms. Listed for 85, been on the market for probably a year and a half, 2 years. And it was like, they were only approved for, you know, right in that wheelhouse. And we got done with the house and Pam was all for it and Steve was still on FaceTime with us and he was unsure. And I had to call him back the next day and I said, guys, this is the best we are gonna do. We've seen 20 houses, you know, this is where we're at. And so they took some time and they thought about it and I ended up getting the house for $80,006%, which they were pretty happy with. So we got under contract and probably, you know, 3-4 days in, I was trying to get them in here to make application with my lender, and they just weren't calling me back, which is unusual because they were really just right on top of it. I ended up going to the grocery store that night with my daughter, and I was walking around getting her a snack or whatever, and somebody taps me on the shoulder. I said, oh, hey, man. It was the boyfriend of the daughter. It was Pam's daughter's boyfriend, I guess. And he goes, did you hear about Steve? I said, no. What's going on, man? He goes, oh, he died today.
What?
Yeah, I was in utter shock. So obviously, I left them alone. I waited for them to reach out to me. So according to this boyfriend, he's filling me in. He had a massive heart failure, and they had to, defibrillate? Is that the word? 52.
Defibrillate. You were so close.
I know. I was right there. 70% close, right?
The paddles and the machines and stuff.
Yep. They shocked him 52 times. And he was dead on the table, and they brought him back. Which, at the end of the day, for a ghost hunter, is like the best story ever, right? So Pam reaches out to me the next day, and she starts filling me in. I said, hey, you know, I'll delay this. I'll do whatever you want me to do. You know, like, do you want to cancel this deal? Do you want to take care of Steve and figure this out? And she goes, oh, no, you know, he's alive. We got to move on with our life. We want this house. And I was just like, yeah, how are you able to wrap your head around this? And she just said, well, you know, simply, I didn't want to have to investigate him. Which,
yeah, so you get your boyfriend back to life just so you don't have to hunt for his ghost. That's a different way to look at death. I mean, it helps you keep your perspective, I guess.
Yeah, it was a fantastic perspective. And honestly, he walked in here the next day, he lifted up his shirt, and he was just, you could just see burn marks everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I was like, dude, how are you standing here? He's like, well, I should probably sit down, but I'm all right.
Just a little bit of death, you know, no big deal. Shake it off.
And then we sit down like nothing happened, and he's there for an hour and a half making full application. You know, like.
So you would probably say you've never again complained about a cold or the flu or the sniffles or anything because you haven't been dead and come back and had to keep going.
No, and just, you know, the full irony that they're ghost hunters and that he had a death experience. He's, you know, he's writing a book now and he's trying to get that out there.
Sounds like he's got Pam to promote it for him because she's not going to be deterred.
No, she wants to make sure that they're successful.
That's right.
So we kept with the contract. We had our inspections. I had called the other agent. Thank God. The other agent was fantastic. You know, this is not something you expect for your first transaction. And I kind of had the mindset that, well, shit, if I can figure this out, I can figure anything out.
Yeah, because that's not something you expect on your 1,000th transaction either, honestly. So may as well learn how to manage early.
I'll tell you what, I certainly referred to my mom quite a bit on that one. It's nice having somebody in the industry that can give you the references that you need.
Oh, it makes all the difference. That helps you make it easier for Pam and Steve, too.
Yeah, it certainly does. Shout out to Nancy Cameron down in Potomac, Maryland, because I never thought...
Hey, Mom.
Yeah, she's been a great resource. I've never thought I'd call my mother about every other day, but I can tell you what I have.
And you wouldn't trade it for anything, would you?
No, I really, really wouldn't. It's weird going from, I'm sure you have the same experience, though, going from being a kid to kind of a peer. It's a strange transition.
Mm-hmm, but I wouldn't trade it. I love working with my dad. It's fantastic.
No, I wouldn't. And it's perfect because you have somebody to call in, you know, if you really need to vent, complain, whatever. Mm-hmm. You have somebody outside your office that you can call.
So what happened to Pam and Steve? Did they keep this cool house? Was it haunted since they're ghost hunters?
Well, yeah, that's the best part is we had to delay the transaction a little bit, obviously, to make sure that we can get it through. We ended up doing preoccupations, which, again, on my first transaction, if I can figure that out, I can figure anything out. Preoccupation. Obviously, as you move into the house before settlement, you got to get an insurance policy, all that great stuff. We ended up settling. They have lived there officially now probably 18 months, probably a year and a half. In the MLS, I don't know about you, but ours only go back as far as 1900, so we never actually knew how old the house was.
Really?
Yeah. Everything stops in 1900 in our area. So Pam and Steve actually...
But you live in, like, Civil War territory. Shouldn't it go back to, like, 1860 or something?
Tax records don't care. So we ended up finding out that from the library that the house was built pre-Civil War, which they were just tickled about, as you can guess.
Oh, yeah.
So they had the old wooden beams in the basement, the dirt floor, and they, of course, the first thing they did when they got there is they figured out their house was haunted.
That's like an extra bonus if you're Pam and Steve. I mean, that makes the house more valuable than you started off.
Oh, yeah. They called me probably about a week later and said, hey, we saw this guy leaving our house. I was like, okay, cool. I just feel like, but he wasn't really there.
He wasn't like a plumber.
No. It wasn't a plumber at all. So then they dove into their history and they figured out who owned the house and all that stuff. And they actually ended up doing ghost tours on their own house. Which,
no way.
Yeah, it turns out they're actually huge in the quote-unquote ghost business. They're both part of ghost hunting teams. Now they started a business down there in Gettysburg, the Gettysburg Ghost Exchange. I guess they're the largest vendor of ghost supplies in the Gettysburg area. So if you're out here visiting, make sure you drop off and pay them a visit.
Well, I'm bringing my kids to Gettysburg at some point, and I think I'm going to have to make a stop at Pam and Steve's for sure. So, Colin, if somebody needs an amazing realtor who can get through even dead clients, how could they find you? And then how can they find Pam and Steve for these awesome ghost supplies and things?
Sure, absolutely. You can find Pam and Steve if you just go on Facebook and look up Gettysburg Ghost Exchange, and you'll be able to contact them there, and they would love the like to their page. If you want to find me, you can also find me on Facebook at Colin Cameron Realtor. I promise you I will come up. That is my bread and butter. And if that doesn't work, Google me. And I would love to have a conversation with you.
And I'm also going to include all of their contact information in the show notes for the podcast in case you're driving or exercising while you're listening to this and you want to resource them later. And if you're listening and you're a realtor, inspector, vendor, lender, or just a consumer who's got your own crazy story about real estate and you think you need to top the dead people and the ghost hunters, which I got to dare you to chance to beat that, message me and I'll feature you on the podcast. Subscribe for more episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. And Colin, thank you so much for joining us on the show and congratulations on your quick early success in the business.
Thanks, Ms. Brown. Have a good day.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com, where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.